Welcome to the Jam Frequency Radio Show. This is John DeMaria, your friendly host. Every week here on the Jam Frequency Radio Show, we get to discover up-and-coming artists as well as living legends. We get to know their stories, how they create music, and what makes them unique as artists. The Jam Frequency Radio Show, where words and music kaleidoscope. This week on the Jam Frequency Radio Show, we've got the pleasure of having Jelly Bread in the house. Jelly Bread's musical alchemy blends a dash of alt-rock with soul and funk, yet is thoroughly steeped in rock Americana. The band's chameleonic playlist is highlighted by dual vocals, four-part harmonies, in-the-pocket drum and bass grooves, swampy lap steel guitar, dirt-under-the-fingernails guitar licks, and take-em-to-the-church organ that is downright appetizing. Jelly Bread has emerged with a high-energy calling card that melds elements of desert twang and the urban tones of funk and rock, balanced by exceptional songwriting and storytelling. Ladies and gentlemen, we have two of the powerhouse members of the band, Jelly Bread. We have Cliff Porter on the line on drums and vocals and Dave Barry on guitar and vocals. How are you guys doing today?
Fantastic. Dave is getting by.
Oh, just getting by. Come on. You guys are taking it up a notch. The COVID thing is alleviated. And now we're getting out and playing some shows. Got to be feeling good about that, yes?
Yes.
Yeah, we feel really good about that. It's about time. We've been going stir crazy for the last 2 years.
Before we get into like maybe what you did over the last 2 years doing some downtime, I'd like to get to know a little bit about you guys and your upbringing and how you got into music. Cliff, how did you get started on the instrument? What influenced you to be the great drummer that you are today?
Well, I began playing drums at a very young age. I was probably about 4 years old or so. I don't think I ever put the sticks down. I put it down for 1 year. I played trumpet in the eighth grade at Sparks Middle School. I was like second chair. By the time I got back to high school, it was marching band and never looked back from there.
Well, you're such a great vocalist. I imagine the trumpet is probably not the best instrument if you're going to be singing lead vocals.
I really wish I would have stuck with the trumpet.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's one case instead of the nine that I have to pack up every night.
You know what? That makes perfect sense. You know, the trumpet's always the first guy to leave, right?
Right.
Oh, that's awesome. And what were your influences when you first got started? I mean, 4 years old is pretty young to start playing. But once you started getting into music, what were the primary influences for you?
I think it was just music in general. I never really, like a lot of drummers, they like know every drummer's name that plays and they know who plays for who and all that stuff. And growing up, I never was that guy. I just listened to music. And if I liked it, that was it. I think the first drummer's name that I actually knew in a band came to me in high school, and it was Neil Peart. And that's when I gravitated to Rush and all of that stuff. And he quickly became one of my favorite drummers. And then, like, I've seen a video of this guy named Dennis Chambers and was like, oh, wow, he's great. He's awesome. And they're like, yeah, he plays for Parliament Funkadelic and he plays for John Scofield and all these other guys. And I'm just like, oh, awesome. That's cool, too. I just like what he was doing. I wasn't a guy who was like trying to follow drummers or imitate drummers or study different drummers. I just studied music, period. If I liked it, I just kept playing it.
Well, that's a great philosophy. Now, when you were in, I guess, middle school or high school, your first band, what were some of the songs that you guys covered?
That was all just a middle school band. I never had a group until like gospel music. I was in a gospel drama when I was young, and we did that for a few years. And then from then on, it was just cover bands and stuff like that, just older 80s and 70s music. Then I went on tour with a band who went all the way back to the 50s, doing stuff like Yakety Yak and all the way up to, you know, whatever the latest music was at that time when I was with that band. So when I moved back to Reno, I met Dave, and that was the first band that I actually got to do original music, playing music, was in Jelly Bread. Before that, it was all cover music or gospel music. Well, the gospel band I was in was all original music as well, but it wasn't my stuff. It was stuff that the group had already written and stuff, even with Dave. He was the writer until he let me write my first song in the band. I appreciate that, Dave. Thanks, buddy.
Oh, that's awesome. What a diverse background. It's fantastic. And your playing is so phenomenal, and being able to sing and play at the same time. Both of those skills are difficult enough on their own, but to do them at the level that you do is really phenomenal to watch. Dave.
And that was once again another thing that's been honed over the past 13, 14 years in Jelly Bread. Like, I sang background in a band before and maybe one lead song, but I didn't really start singing lead until Jelly Bread.
Was it by default, Dave, or was Cliff the guy?
You know, I had another band before, and, you know, I was the only lead singer. And when Cliff said he met me when he came back to Reno, I've known Cliff since he was 5 years old.
Yeah.
About that. So I've known him just about our whole lives. You know, I'm a little bit older than him. I was really good friends with his older brother.
And,
come on, it's just a little bit. I'm not that much older. You know, I knew Cliff played drums. I had left town for a while and came back trying to get a new project going. I talked to his brother, my friend, said, "Where's Cliff?" And he said, "Oh, he's down in Arizona doing some gospel stuff, some like casino band stuff.
Tribute show."
Yeah. And so when he got back to Reno, got together with him as quick as I could. And I knew he could sing, but he just didn't sing really in the bands. So I had all these songs all that I'd written, and I had to kind of coax him into singing a few. And once he started singing, it was just like, all right, well, sing. Now you sing this one. Now you sing this one. Now you sing this one. Mm. And, you know, I mean, with his voice, you can't, you know, help but want him to do everything he can, even when he's behind the set.
Yes. Now, what were your earliest influences, Dave? What made you pick up the guitar?
What made me pick up the guitar was two people, Bob Marley and Eddie Vedder from Pearl Jam.
Interesting choices. These guys are not known for being guitar players first, right? Why those two?
Well, they're songwriters. I picked up a guitar because I wanted to write songs, you know, and I've never had any musical training. You know, I bought a little pawn shop guitar way back in the early 90s and started trying to figure it out so I could write some songs. One thing led to another, but it was really their songwriting. I mean, Bob Marley, I just love reggae and I love Bob. I still know every song he ever wrote and, you know, could sing every one of them. But back in the 90s, I was just getting my feet wet and really loved Pearl Jam and Eddie Vedder's songwriting and his voice. And I loved music and I wanted to play music because of Bob, but I wanted to write songs because of Eddie Vedder's lyrical content and his voice. And that's what really got the idea in my head that I want to learn how to play the guitar so I can write songs and put a band together. Because, you know, I mean, music was a huge part of my life my whole life. I mean, I come from a family of 8 kids and every one of my brothers and sisters took music lessons and I never did. I thought I was going to play in the NBA or something. Sport. It was all about sports. I was playing basketball. And then when I got in college and I was playing ball, one of my roommates, the guys on the team, had a guitar. And I started fiddling with it and just got addicted. And, you know, it went from basketball to music.
Very nice and great influencers. I do want to talk to you specifically about the songwriting in a little bit. But before that, I want to know, how did you come up with the name Jelly Bread? I mean, why not Sour Bread or Pumpernickel or something like that?
banana nut bread. I might be more apropos these days. You know, it was really the band I had before Jelly Bread. Me and the other guitar player, when that band split up, we started playing as a duo. And we were headed to L.A. one day and had no idea what to call ourselves. And the other guitar player, my buddy Michael Grayson, we were driving down there. I was like, what are we going to call ourselves? And like, I don't know, man. Just put two words together like jelly and bread. And we called ourselves that night kind of as a joke. And within, I think it was about 2 weeks later, we got together with Cliff. And he called his uncle, who was a bass player, Brady, and brought him down to where we were working on stuff. And the four of us got together and we just kept that name Jelly Bread. It just kind of stuck.
Get it stuck.
Sticky jelly.
Would you put peanut butter on that jelly bread or does it have to be just straight jelly bread? What do you think?
Well, no. See, the whole reason we call it Jelly Bread really was because me and Michael's band was called Puffer Billy. And our logo was a PB for Puffer Billy. And Michael said, you know, now that we don't have, you know, people who followed us, yeah, the PB, they said peanut butter. They call it peanut butter, Puffer Billy peanut butter. And he was joking. He's like, well, we don't have peanut butter anymore. All we got left is the jelly and the bread. And that was me and him. And that's kind of why we started calling it that.
Oh, I love it, dude. There's always this story. It always fascinates me how bands come up with their names.
Right.
I would love to play some music. You guys are going to be playing at the June Lake Jam Fest. September 9th through 11th is the Jam Fest. You guys are playing Friday night. You probably go on around 6 o'clock in that neighborhood, but anyone who's listening right now is going to get there early so they can get a good seat to watch you guys. Let's play one of your songs. I'd like to get the backstory on one of them. Maybe we could start with Who Got Me. Can you tell us how the songwriting process came about for that one?
Hey, I like that song.
I'm sensing you're there a little biased.
you picked one that I actually wrote. Yeah, I haven't done that, a lot of that, so that's pretty cool. So Who Got Me came out of a argument, I think it was, one day. You know, life stories and things happen, and you're looking around, and you're just like, well, I'm doing everything for everybody else, and it's like, you know, you can't depend on anybody to do anything for you when you need it done. It was a very, very bad day that turned into a great song to me.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Very fun song, actually. So
beautiful. Well, let's give it a listen.
Hey, everybody. This is Cliff Porter, singer and drummer for the band Jellybread. Please enjoy our brand new song, one of our newest songs. It's called Who Got Me on the Jam Frequency Radio Station.
When you needed someone to talk to, yes, I was right there. When you needed a friend, remember I was right there to help you pick up the pieces. There were never any questions, I was just right there. But now it's my time, I need someone to talk to. Yeah, now it's my time, I just need a friend. Oh, but since I've been looking, my mind's been filled with questions. Like, where are all those folks when I need someone around? See, I done done all of this, and I done all of that. Always been down for you, always had your back. Never was any question about what I would do for you. But tell me, who got me? Who got me? Who got me? Who got me? Now in all my life I never thought I'd have these questions, but I guess it's just another life lesson learned. You see, no matter how good you've been or what you've done for others, if you expect the same kind of love, we'll get burned. See, when it's your time, you need someone to talk to. So when it's your time and you need a friend, you will find yourself looking at yourself in the mirror again. So you done all of that. Always been down for you, always had your back. Never was any question about what I would do for you. But tell me, who got me? 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 Who got me?
Who got me? I'll get by on my own.
Yeah.
Nah. I'll get by on my own.
Nah, I don't need you.
I'll get by on my own.
Nah.
I don't need you. I'll get by on my own.
Now when I look around, all I see is the same people playing me, saying that they care for me, but they ain't never there for me. Phone calls never answered, but I see you on the gram. Wasn't acting funny when you asked me for that money gram. Damn, I guess the love wasn't a two-way street, but now that I'm on my own, I feel it's the best place to be. So keep your phony lifestyle and stay far away from me. I may sound mad, but I'll be cool, just pray for me.
Who got me? Who got me?
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Jam Frequency Radio Show. That was Who Got Me from Jelly Bread. We have Cliff Porter on drums and vocals and Dave Berry, the great guitar player and vocalist, playing at the June Lake Jam Fest September 9th through 11th. You can get your tickets at junelakejamfest2022.eventbrite.com, and Jelly Bread's going to be featured on Friday night. All right, Dave, you're such a great songwriter. Can you tell us a little bit about how you are inspired to write songs? Do you have a practice or a routine that helps you get in the flow? Do you play every day? What is your method for coming up with the masterpieces that you have?
Well, you know, I used to play every day. Once we started touring and being on the road so much, it was kind of like our creative space to come up with new ideas and new songs was ended up being sound checks. We'd mess around during sound check and stumble upon something and it would stick in your head and you'd go from there. But my writing process has always been from the guitar. I'll be sitting playing the guitar and coming up with some riffs or some arrangements, you know, chord structures, and I'd wait for a melody to pop in my head, and then that melody would come through. And honestly, you know, I never have had preconceived ideas of wanting to write a certain type of song. It would just be about the melody and the first lyric, first hook, I guess you could say, that would pop up in my head with that melody. I would gravitate to that and latch onto that and have that basic idea or that hook or whatever the chorus would be, and then write the song off of that. So, you know, I've come up with a verse that went with, you know, whatever that line was that stuck in my head. And it's always been, you know, something personal, something going on in my life. I've never been a fictional writer. It's always something that, you know, would come from the heart, and then I would turn it into a song and, you know, write a chorus, write a few verses, and, you know, maybe kick it off the guys here and there, bounce off the guys and see what kind of stuff. But I've always primarily been just by myself with my guitar and writing songs. And I've always, you know, wanted them to mean something and try to turn it into something that meant something to other people, something that people would grab onto regardless of what it meant to me, something in that song that would mean something to them. And it's, you know, I've had people talk to me about the songs and say, you know, what it meant to them. And it's rarely been the same thing it meant to me. But as long as it touched them in a way that made them feel something, you know, as long as it feels something, that's why I write the song.
What a great approach. Just let it flow through you. Your songs are really great, and I can see how others would interpret it the way that they will. I mean, there are songs for all types, and, you know, some songs are very literal and some songs are a little bit more wide open. So whatever that lane is, it's all good. But when you write a song, do you hear the other instruments in your mind, or do you go to the band and they bring their individuality? How does that work for you guys? How do you arrange the songs?
Yeah, I've never been one to tell anybody else what to play. I think that's the great thing about being in a band. I have my part. I write the song. I have my guitar part. And I just put it to the guys and say, this is the song.
This is what I'm doing. What you going to do?
Yeah, exactly. This is what I wrote. Y'all put what you're going to do with it. We've always had great players with us. I mean, Cliff and I started this band back in 2008. We've had a variety of other players playing with us. And it's never been, you know, hey, play this, play that, you know, it's just been, what do you got for this? Mm-hmm. And that's what we've always worked with.
And it's good to find a band member that you can gel with lyrically and melodically. Cliff, it seems like you gravitate to Dave's melodic writing really easily. Do you ever feel like you need to embellish on that? Or do you feel like you guys are just in sync?
I think it's more in sync because we've been playing for so long together and I've listened to what he's doing, you know, a lot. And so it's almost to the point where there's a certain song that we do, Not a Dog. We just recorded and released it with the Loudest Folk folks in Reno. Mm-hmm. And you can find that on YouTube. Mm-hmm. But that song, we sing it together. We never did used to sing it together, but I like that song so much. I started singing with him on it. And now it just sounds like a double of him. Like I'm singing it exactly how he sings it. It's one of those things where we've been singing this song and playing together so long. I even know, like, even if he changes it one night and does something a little different, I kind of know that he's going to change it. And we'll change with him. It's weird how that happens, but it's just, you know, chemistry. The chemistry 2008, and it locked on, and it's been there this whole time.
Awesome. Well, chemistry is so important to anything, really. I mean, if you're in construction and you're working with the same folks for a while, you have a chemistry, and certainly with music, there is that force that is bigger than any one person. It's amazing how the universe works in that way, and you guys certainly have great chemistry. That is for sure. Let's get into it. This is Jelly Bread's Not a Dog.
I need to wander out of the bog into a fog, yeah, and Molly's better over yonder. You say hold on, but what you really want is to be rid of me. I'm not your dog, he's not the kind of dog you want to keep for me. I'm not a dog, I don't chase the cat, no, no, but I get lonely, don't hold me. I'm not a dog, I don't chase the cat, no, no, but I get lonely, yeah. And it's a lot, yeah, it's a lot I know to expect you to handle. We lost our spot, you like it hot now, and I can even hold a candle. I'm not a dog, but like a dog will, I up and ran away. I'm my own song, it doesn't mean that I'm straight. I'm not a dog, I don't chase the cat, no, no, but I get lonely, don't hold me. I'm not a dog, I don't chase the cat, no, no, but I get lonely. Holes. I'm not a dog, but I chew on bones. I'm not a dog, yet I'm all alone. I'm not a dog, I don't chase a cat, no, no, but I get lonely, don't hold me. I'm not a dog, I don't chase a cat, no, no, but I get lonely, and I need someone to hold me. I'm not a dog, I don't chase a cat, no, no,
I would love to hear the backstory of the song Mobius Trip. Can you tell us what inspired that?
Our lead guitar player, Sean Leahy, during one of our sessions when we would all get together to write new stuff, he said, you know, we should explore this idea of the Mobius Strip. There's this guy, Mobius, back, I can't even remember, you know, when, this mathematician, he came up with this idea about the Mobius Strip. And it's basically this strip that curves into itself in this pattern. And the way it curves into itself, both sides of that strip end up being the same side as it turns. And it just gave me the idea, that's kind of the way our world is right now. You know, we're all, we call it the Mobius trip, because we're all on this same trip and we think we're on opposite side, you know, but our reality turns in a way that we're all on the same trip. And that's what it came from. The lyrics came to me as we were writing it. You know, we were in the studio and Cliff and our keyboard player at the time, Alvin, and our bass player at the time, Eric Lewis, started writing the music. And I had the idea, you know, I want to make this the Mobius Trip song. They're playing the music, you know, in the studio. And I just started writing down the lyrics. And it was just about the reality at the time and everything we were going through politically and stuff going on in the world, how just like everybody thinks we got to choose sides. And we're all on this same trip. We're all on the same thing. As it curves around, we're all the same people. We're all living the same reality. Turn on the news and you listen to all these political pundits and they're trying to separate and choose sides. And for me, it was just like, we're not on separate sides, man. We're all on the same trip. We're in this together. And we need to be together if we're going to get through this, you know, because if we're not, it's all going to fall apart. And that's where the song came from.
Wow, fantastic. Very philosophical, and I happen to agree with you. I like to say that we're all connected.
Yeah.
And, you know, we come into this world maybe forgetting where we came from, and we have different traditions and backgrounds and stories that we tell ourselves, and it seems so separated, but I think ultimately we are one. So I'm stoked to hear the lyrics with a new set of ears right now. I've listened to them, and now I'm thinking I'm going to just dive right in and get Dave's trip on this.
Yeah, you know, and we got a video to it, too. And Cliff and I were the only ones in the video. It's on YouTube, Mobius Trip. We're really proud of that. It came out really good. And the video itself really sums up what the songs are about and the way we felt about it and the things we were all going through at the time.
Well done.
Hey, y'all, this is Dave Barry from Jelly Bread, and you're listening to our song Mobius Trip on the Jam Frequency Radio Show.
The sharing of biased and false news has become all too common on social media. More alarming, some media
simply aren't true without checking facts first.
We on this ride, yeah, it's a trip. Talking side to side on this Mobius strip. Ain't nothing changing, government's gang banging, but we keep on singing, trying to make one. Something's gotta give in this joint. We might need Archangel Michael to come help us break this cycle.
We're in a war
between good and evil.
We're talking about love,
but they keeping hate legal. They want us to hate each other. They ain't our daddy, but you're still my brother.
Keep on talking.
So when it suits the politics,
keep on talking.
The piety,
keep on talking,
is great.
Keep on talking.
Keep on talking.
And when it doesn't suit the
keep
politics,
on
keep on.
The piety,
keep on talking,
is easily excused.
Keep on talking.
Yeah.
Keep on
then
talking.
That is hypocrisy.
Keep on talking.
Keep on talking.
Keep on talking.
Yeah.
That's where it goes on both sides.
Those in control think that we don't know. We're just pawns in their money-making game. They say the line between right and wrong
when they make it all up
as they go along.
We save us them.
That's exactly what they want, y'all. While we're resisting and fighting, they plant the seeds for our downfall. Divide and conquer not just America but the world. Separate good and bad. And a token girl.
Keep on talking.
It's all escalation.
Keep on talking.
Keep on talking.
They've been escalating the war.
Keep on talking.
Keep 1990.
Keep on talking. They
keep on talking.
They're gonna put soldiers on every street like they're cops.
Keep on talking.
Keep talking. No.
Keep on talking.
Cause we've escalated. We've let them do it.
Keep on talking.
Talking.
Keep on talking.
We've let them do it cause we stood by and we've talked about it.
Keep on talking.
Keep talking.
You gotta stop feeding this
fuel. Keep on talking, yo.
Keep on talking.
Man.
Why are we still letting these soldiers die?
Die.
I won't even talk to politicians about the war. Because there ain't no point in it. Democrat, Republican, they're all profiteers of war. War.
What kind of a nation wants to be associated with the mass murder of innocent men, women, and children?
Another community is in disbelief, shocked by devastating violence.
Let's get out of this moment.
Ladies and gentlemen, what a trip that was. Mobius Trip from Jellybread. Great lyrics, great music. And we're going to get to experience them firsthand September 9th through the 11th at the June Lake Jam Fest. In fact, they're playing on Friday at 6 o'clock. You can get your tickets at junelakejamfest2022.eventbrite.com. For more information on the Jam Fest, you can go to junelakejamfest.org. Talking about June Lake and the Eastern Sierra, are you guys looking forward to something specific about the June Lake Jam Fest?
You know, we just love the Eastern Sierra. And they've always loved us. I mean, from playing in June Lake and Mammoth, you know, at the Mill Pond. And we played a bunch of Yosemite employee parties in Groveland.
Mobile Mart.
The Mobile Mart. Oh, man, one of our favorite gigs we've played multiple times. I mean, actually, the last time we played it, the guy who puts it on told us they probably couldn't book us anymore because too many people come out and they couldn't handle the crowd. I mean, we'd have 600 to 800 people at that little gas station up in Lee Vining, but it was just such a blast. We've always just had such a great reception, whether it was Mammoth or June Lake or the Mobile Mart or up in Yosemite. It feels like the mountain people are the ones who really dig us for some reason.
I'm really looking forward to my We Have It crew.
It's going to be jammed. You guys are so off the chain. You're so high energy. It really is great. I was thinking about the meters of some of the songs, at least some of the songs that you shared with me and that I've listened to. You guys can take it back a little bit. But no. Doug chiming in, he's agreeing with me, or she. I noticed that the metronome markings, normally like a comfortable dance zone would be like maybe 113 beats per minute. You guys seem to kind of push that quite a bit. Is that on purpose, or is that just the way it comes out?
It's pretty much the way it comes out. It depends on the energy and the vibe. Like, well, depends. You know, in the recordings, we try and keep it kind of laid, but live, there's just no telling. The energy and the vibe will drive the song. The crowd drives the song.
Absolutely. And people are dancing, you know, with a little bit of a reckless abandon, you know, because when it's outside of the walking comfortably fast zone, you're forced to move all your limbs. You know, just one of those.
Right. Yeah. Try and create a pulse.
Very nice. Talking about grooves, maybe Digging on a Groove, a song you recorded a few years back. Can you give us the backstory of this one?
That one's actually morphed quite a bit over the last, you know, however many years since we wrote it. If I remember correctly, we were playing up at North Star, Cliff and I and the members we had at the time. And it was one of those days we were just like, let's just create something. And we, you know, I started that riff.
It might have been a sound check we were doing.
Yeah, it might have been.
Yeah.
And we didn't even have, you know, there were no lyrics to it or anything. And kind of jamming, and then Cliff started singing, you know, said we get funky, digging on the groove. It just went from there. That was one of those that's always a staple in every set we play. You know, people recognize it, and it's just a really fun song to play. And like I said, it's morphed. I mean, the way we play it now isn't even like the way we recorded it. It's got different sections in it. We might not go to the bridge the same time we always do. We might extend the verse a little bit to give somebody a extended solo section. Yeah, so I think that kind of epitomizes the song. You know, every time we play it, we're just digging on the groove. We're just feeling what it is at that moment and who's playing what, and let it happen.
You guys have such great vocals. Do you still have that a cappella intro?
Yeah.
Beautiful. How did you develop the harmonies? Just singing together a lot, or just do you guys have to sit down and really work on them? Because they're really awesome.
We just listen to each other.
Yeah.
I think the thing about, like, me and Dave, we're both self-taught musicians who listened to learn music, you know what I mean? So that's how we can connect, because we're both ear-trained musicians. Hearing it and just falling into place is what we're accustomed to doing.
Yeah, those harmonies have always really come easy for us. You know, whether I sing something and Cliff sings along, or he's singing something and we get to a chorus and I find a harmony and the guys in the band, you know, put their third on it or their fifth on it or whatever. It's always been really easy. We've never really had to discuss much about our harmonies.
That's a gift. That's really great. I'm glad to hear that. You know, I think that bands are all different, but if the melody is well crafted and you got chemistry over time, it's nice to see that it just locks in. That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is Cliff Porter once again. You're listening to the Jam Frequency Radio Show. Come on and dig in on this groove with Jelly Bread.
Said we're getting funky.
Say we're getting funky.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Jam Frequency Radio Show. That was Digging on a Groove. Jelly Bread just bringing it. We have Cliff Porter on drums and vocals with us and Dave Berry, guitar and vocals. They're going to be playing at the June Lake Jam Fest 2022 this September 9th through 11th. They'll be playing on that Friday night. We are super stoked to have you guys. Thank you for joining us. I wanted to ask you guys a couple of fun questions, if you'll allow me. I have a tradition of asking a silly question that has seemed to kind of last for years, but it's one of those things that maybe I just can't help myself. And I've researched other questions. It still seems to be the most fun. So I'm going to start with you, Cliff. What is your favorite animal and why?
My favorite animal is a pit bull, and because I've had a couple and I love them to my core.
Nice. Now, does that say something about you? Are you like stocky and like ready to latch on something you don't let go?
Or? Not at all. Cliff.
Not at all. I think it's just because it's the opposite. I'm just like, I want to be that.
Nice. Very good. Dave, do you have a favorite animal and why?
I would say a grizzly bear. And probably just because it's the same thing. I am not a big dude. And grizzly bears are just so big and imposing, and on top of which I go to Alaska almost every summer I can and go fly fishing with my older brothers, and we encounter, you know, grizzlies constantly while we're floating down the river, you know, on our own out in the middle of nowhere, and it's kind of like you've got to respect them, and you're in their territory, and that is the king of the jungle.
And, you know, grizzly bears used to be here in California, but I guess they migrated north, and so we don't have them anymore over here. We just have black bears who are pretty, pretty mild, really. I wanted to ask you another fun question. If you're going away for a weekend, right, just a weekend, and you've got no electronics, no devices, nothing, but you got yourself and one album, what album do you bring with you for a weekend?
Songs in the Key of Life. Stevie Wonder. It's a double album. I can kill some time with that.
Yeah, it's one of the greatest records of all time. It really is.
I know, and it came out on my birthday. Me and that album were born on the same day.
Is that right? What day is that?
September 28th, 1976.
Do you ever have any aspirations to play every instrument on every song like Stevie did?
I have. I mean, I've self-produced a couple of my own projects. I just did a show with my other band Friday night, and I actually played one of the songs that I produced for the first time ever, like live out in public, and it was pretty amazing. It was pretty fun to do that. It was something that I actually created on keys, and I played the keys and drum track and all that stuff, but it was the first time I ever got to play it with a live band, and it was a different experience. So it made me really appreciate songwriting in a whole different way. Now I see why Dave is so sensitive about his music.
Dave, are you sensitive?
Oh, man, I'm hella sensitive.
I'm a passionate songwriter, for God's sake.
That's right.
Awesome. Now, Dave, what's the album that you bring along with you for a weekend?
Ooh, man, that's a tough one. You know, I would say there's three. I can't narrow it down to just one.
No,
really.
You get one album.
I can't, man. I can't. All right, fine. I would say Ben Harper, Welcome to Mars.
Nice.
Because that covers the whole gamut. It's a live album, and it's a double album as well. You know, kill a lot of time, but it's everything from the folky, you know, just him and the guitar like I do a lot, to the funk to the rock. You know, it covers the whole gamut of really beautiful singer-songwriter stuff, the jamming, funky stuff, and meaningful lyrics. I mean, you know, along with Bob and Eddie Vedder, I mean, Ben is one of my ultimate influences.
Awesomeness. Well, thank you guys for sharing that. Is there something that I haven't asked you guys that you would like to share with your fans and our listeners?
I think for me, you know, as far as Jelly Bread is concerned, it's always been me and Cliff. We started this band back in 2008, and he and I are the only two original members, and there really is no Jelly Bread without either one of us. We've had different other lead guitar players and multiple keyboard players and bass players, and honestly, I think that the group we have right now is probably the best group we've ever had as far as putting the songs across the way we've written them. You know, I mean, everybody vibes really well together. I mean, you know, our bass player is Cliff's son, and Sean has been with us on lead guitar off and on for probably 8 years now. And our new keyboard player is one of Sean's best friends, you know, and played in multiple bands with him, a really, really cool cat. So we're really looking forward to getting back into that songwriting mode and putting out a new album, hopefully this year, or at least getting the bones of it this year. I mean, we haven't put out an album. We put out singles, but we haven't put out a full album since 2015. You know, we've put out groups of songs, like I said, singles over the last probably 4 or 5 years. But I think we're really looking forward to getting this lineup into the studio and creating new stuff.
Mm, fantastic. So during the Devok years, COVID, if you will, was that a good songwriting time for you? How did you utilize that time as musicians?
I didn't write anything.
No, I
was depressed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. It was depressing. You know, we didn't get to go play with each other very much. I mean, Cliff and I still did a lot of duo stuff, but I wrote a couple songs and I released them on my own. You know, I put out a solo track I did, but it's really gotten me back to my acoustic guitar and songwriting, you know, whereas Jelly Bread over the last few years has just really been, you know, us jamming. Mm-hmm. And it's all been about the funk, and it's all been about, you know, getting people dancing. And I kind of retreated into myself of what got me started in music in the first place, just me and my acoustic guitar writing those touchy-feely singer-songwriter ballady type tunes. And we'll, you know, see if any of those translate with Jelly Bread.
Yeah. Well, we look forward to your next recording session, the next album, you know, how you guys progress through that. We'll follow that story for sure. What is the best way for us to follow you?
Instagram and Facebook. We have our website, jellybread.net. All our newest stuff is on SoundCloud and Spotify. I think the best way to follow us is come to a show.
Sounds great. And we will see you in June Lake at the June Lake Jam Fest, September 9th through 11th. You guys can get your tickets at June Lake Jam Fest 2022.eventbrite.com. You do not want to miss that weekend, and Jelly Bread is playing on Friday night. Before I let you guys go, I do want to play one more song. It's called Personal, and I wanted to hear the backstory. Do you mind sharing that with us?
No. Man, I wrote that song, I can't even remember which year it was, but I had toured solo for about 6 weeks with a couple other singer-songwriters. When I got home from that tour, shut up, Cliff. One of the people I was on tour with, you know, we got really close and we're doing some stuff together. And we went through something to where she got mad at me about something and was like, well, don't take it personal, but this and that. And I grabbed my guitar and wrote this song. And it was just like, you know, you can't ever say something's not personal because we are people. Everything's personal. Everything touches a chord. Everything hits your heart in a certain way. So I wrote that song with the idea of everything is personal. Don't tell me it's not personal. Everything is personal. And if you would look at it like that, it would really just the way you treat people.
Mm. Well done. The poet over there. Cliff, I can see why you team up with this guy. And both of you really just complement each other with different skill sets to make what I call awesome. So kudos to you guys. I appreciate that.
Thank you. Goodbye. I just want to say real quick, every song that you pick, we now have to go and rehearse for this festival. You haven't played any one of those songs.
Oh, no.
I know, right?
Well,
put us on the spot with these ones.
To be fair, these were the songs that were sent to me.
I sent them. Yeah, I went through our stuff and I was like, you know what? I love this song for this reason. I love this song for that reason. And I think it really is kind of a good marker of the different styles of songs we've written over the years, you know. And like I said, Rick Cliff's, you know, Cliff wrote Who Got Me, and I only wrote the lyrics to Mobius Trip, you know. I mean, the music was composed. I didn't even play on that song. Our bass player at the time, Eric, he played the guitar, and it was like, hey, Dave, play this. And I was like, you just played it. Let's keep it. You know, and all I did was write the lyrics. And Cliff sang it, and we did the backups, and then Personal was just one of the songs I wrote all by myself, and they put their stuff to it. And then Digging on a Groove was just a song we all seriously just wrote together, and Cliff started singing, you know. So I think it was a good collection of, you know, what Jelly Bread has become.
I love the choices, and I like the reasons for the choices.
Right on.
Gentlemen, it's been a real pleasure speaking with you. I mean that sincerely. Thank you for joining me, and I cannot wait to see you guys at the June Lake Jam Fest.
All right, buddy.
Right on, John. Thank you, man.
Oh, you're welcome.
Hey, y'all, this is Dave Barry again from Jelly Bread. You are listening to Jam Frequency Radio, and this is our song, Personal.
The stormy weather, we had to grow some thicker skins. And you said you understood me when I had to change my plan. But when I broke down, all I heard was, don't you ever piss me off, my man. Well, I don't owe you, no, not a single thing. I thought that we were friendship, but the true colors I have seen. And you took so fast, I can't believe that you would be that mean and insane. It's not personal. What's not personal? It's not personal. Yeah, it's personal. Well, I'm not a boy, I'm not your toy. I'm not something you can use. When you flip and flop and jump and hop, do whatever gets you through. I try to turn my cheek, yeah, try to be the bigger man. But there's only so much I will take and only so much I can stand. Well, I don't know you, no, not a single thing. I thought that we were friends, yeah, but the true colors I have seen. And you flip so fast, I can't believe that you would be that mean and insane. It's not personal. What's not personal? It's not personal. Yeah, it's personal. What's not personal? It's not personal. Everything is personal.
That concludes another fun episode of the Jam Frequency Radio Show. Thank you to the artists for sharing their story and music, and thank you for tuning in. If you'd like to learn more about the Jam Frequency Radio Show, visit the website at jamfrequencyradio.com. I'd love to hear from you. If you resonated with this week's artist, support them. Go to a show, pick up a t-shirt, download their music, and tell a friend. Thank you again for tuning in. This is John DeMaria signing off from the Jam Frequency Radio Show, where words and music kaleidoscope.